Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. Last week, I spoke about great is your reward in heaven. We have a great reward in heaven if we will obey the gospel and live faithfully, become a faithful Christian. But on the program this morning, I want to talk about the alternative to that, and that is eternal hell fire. I want to be fair and balanced on the Let the Bible Speak program. I want to proclaim the whole counsel of God. I want to speak where the Bible speaks. I want to let the Bible speak to our eternal destiny. And if I spoke simply about heaven only, I would not be giving you the full picture. There are two eternal destinies of all mankind and all angels, spirit beings, and that is either heaven or hell. At the end of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said, speaking of the wicked, "And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Those are the only two destinies that are spoken of in Scripture. Some religions, like the Mormons, have three different levels of heaven, mistakenly taken from 1 Corinthians 15, twisting that passage. But there are no three levels of heaven. The Jehovah's Witness, for example, say that the 144,000 will be in heaven around God's throne, but the rest of the righteous will be in paradise on earth. Those are two different destinies. So the Jehovah's Witness have two different destinies, and they eliminate eternal hell fire for the wicked. The Mormons have three destinies for the righteous. And so you get all different kinds of things in religion being said. What does the Bible say? Not only that, but if you look at some statistics today among those who claim to be Bible believers or Christians, people who have faith in God, the statistics are quite startling with regard to specific beliefs. Obviously, many people believe in heaven, but some who claim to be Bible believers and Christians say that they don't believe in hell. It's very odd because the Bible speaks clearly about that. Jesus speaks clearly about that. And so it's odd that they would believe that, but they have reasoned in their minds that a loving God would not cast anybody into eternal hell fire. So we've got to look at the other alternative other than the righteous reward in heaven. We have eternal punishment in hell. The Bible clearly teaches that there is going to be a coming punishment, a misery, a suffering experienced in the future for all eternity for the unforgiven person. And that shows you the enormity of sin and the terrible problem of sin. And we need to just open our eyes to the truth. We need to simply accept the Bible truth on the subject of hell. It's easy to shut our eyes. It's easy to speak it away and with the wave of a hand say, "I don't believe in hell." But that doesn't change what the Word of God says about the matter. The fact is, Jesus and his apostles taught about eternal punishment. And so I want to look at that this morning on the program. Yes, it's negative. Yes, it is troubling. Yes, people don't like to face reality and talk about the negative, but it's a part of the Bible truth. And we want our doctor to tell us about the negative so that we can get better. We want teachers to tell us about our bad grades so that we can get better. There are a lot of areas of our life where we're fine with the negative, but for some reason, when it comes to the afterlife, we don't like that. And the reason is, many people just simply want to live any way they want. And so they don't want to think about the eternal consequences in hell. So let's talk about a few things this morning. I want to talk about how that Jesus spoke about hell and others. Number two, I want to talk about the terms that are used to describe this suffering, some of them. And number three, I want to talk a little bit about the words that are used to describe the eternal duration of this suffering. Somebody says, well, I believe that heaven is forever, but if there is a hell, it couldn't be forever. A loving God wouldn't do that. Did you know, friends, that in Matthew chapter 25, this is Jesus, not me, Jesus said in Matthew 25:46, he used the same word, ionios, the same word, eternal, for punishment, just like he did for eternal life, which is heaven. Do you know how long hell lasts? It lasts just as long as heaven lasts. They both will be for eternity. So let's talk about that this morning. First of all, Jesus spoke about hell. Do you know that hell, Gehenna, hell, is mentioned 12 times in the New Testament? And do you know that Jesus spoke 11 of those 12 times? His brother James wrote about the other one in James chapter 3 and verse 6. But Jesus said more about hell than anybody else in the New Testament. You might find that surprising. That might be the Jesus you never knew. I preach a sermon sometimes, the Jesus that you never knew. Things about Jesus that people don't realize. Their picture of Jesus is all loving and all caring, and he certainly is, but they have a warped and unbalanced view of Jesus. Jesus speaks about heaven, and we referenced some of those verses last week. Jesus said in John 14, 1 and 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus speaks about his Father who is in heaven. Jesus speaks about laying up treasures in heaven, Matthew chapter 6. But you know, Jesus also taught about hell. And he, more than any, spoke about hell. Gehenna, hell. So let's look at those references in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22 in the Sermon on the Mount. I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell, of the hell of fire. It's a fiery place. This is Gehenna, the Greek word Gehenna. It comes from the Old Testament Hebrew word Gehinnom. It refers to the Valley of Hinnom, which lay south of Jerusalem. And it's used in a figurative sense for the place or state of everlasting punishment or hell. In the Old Testament, the Israelites, unfortunately at times, would take their children and sacrifice them to the idol Molech in the Valley of Hinnom in 2 Kings 23:10. So it is a valley that is associated with death and dying and sin and immorality. Later, this valley seems to have been used for burning corpses of criminals and animals, and garbage was thrown into it because it was on the southern end of the old city of Jerusalem, and you could go down there, and outside the wall, the valley gate, you could go out there and just dump your garbage down the hill. And so it became a disgusting place, and in that garbage would be maggots and worms, and Jesus talks about hell being the place where the worm dies not. So Gehenna, Jesus in Gehenna, he's using a word that conjures up an image in the minds of those in and around Jerusalem. Over time, the Valley of Hinnom became a garbage dump where fires were constantly burning. So you've got where the fire burns and the worm dies not. It came to symbolize a terrible wickedness, filth and rottenness and pain and anguish. And so it vividly illustrates the realm where the spirits of sinful men will be punished. Thayer, in his Greek lexicon, says this of Gehenna, the valley of the son of lamentation, the name of the valley on the south and east of Jerusalem, Joshua 15:8, which was so called from the cries of little children who were thrown into the fiery arms of Molech. The Jews so abhorred the place after these horrible sacrifices had been abolished by King Josiah, that they cast into it not only all manner of garbage, but even the dead bodies of animals and unburied criminals who had been executed. And since fires were always needed to consume the dead bodies, that the air might not become tainted by their putrefaction, it came to pass that the place was called Ginnaturas, the Valley of Fire. And then this name was transferred to the place of hell. Friends, hell is a place of eternal punishment and torment and pain. Jesus, thankfully, gives us a way of escape, but we've got to obey the gospel, be baptized into Christ, and live faithfully. So, the hell of fire, Matthew 5:22. Look at in Matthew 5:29 and 30. And if thy right eye cause thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not the whole body be cast into hell. And if thy right hand cause thee to stumble, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not thy whole body go into hell. Chapter 10 and verse 28, when Jesus is sending out the apostles, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And sometimes a person will try to make an argument that destroy means to be completely done away, but here it means to, you'll have continual existence in hell, but it will be a destruction where all of that which is good and life and good is taken away. Destroy in the sense of to take away all that is good. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 9. If thine eye cause thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is good for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell of fire. Look at Matthew chapter 23 verse 15, and Jesus' scathing rebuke of the hypocrisies of the scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, Matthew 23:15, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he has become so, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves. In the same chapter, in verse 33, you serpents, you offspring of vipers, how shall you escape the judgment of hell? I also want to say something else. The fact that the New Testament teaches a judgment day teaches a place of punishment. There's just some people who cannot get on board with eternal punishment. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 25. These wicked, these unrighteous will go away into eternal punishment. How can a God of love have a punishment? Well, if there's a judgment day, judges, can either honor you and reward you with what is good, or a judge can sit and sentence you to punishment. We all understand that in the court system. Why isn't it that we do not allow God to do the same? God will reward the righteous. He will punish the wicked. That's just what judges do in here in this life, in the here and now. It's no different for God. So we're familiar with that concept of sometimes punishment will follow judgment. That's very common sense. We need to understand that that's the same in the judgment day at the end of time. It's no different. And we can't say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in hell, or I'm a believer, but I don't believe in hell, or I believe in God, but I don't believe in hell. You're just not being truthful and honest and logical and reasonable and rational, and you're not squarely dealing with the Bible information. I want us all to go to heaven, obviously, and I want to be clear about that, and we can through Jesus Christ, but we also have to be honest with the truth of the matter. There is an eternal heaven, and there is an eternal hell. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, we'll get some figures that Jesus is mentioning here about hell that come from this literal garbage dump on the south and east side of Jerusalem that has fires in it and that it has worms and maggots in it from all the death and the rot. Look at Mark 9 43, if thy hand cause thee to stumble, cut it off. Notice, by the way, this is the third time that we've seen this idea. If you've got something that's causing a problem, get rid of it. Whatever drastic measure you need to take, get rid of it in your life. Whatever sacrifice you need to make, whatever change you need to make, whatever separation you need to make, whatever thing you need to divorce yourself from, and I'm not just using that in a marriage sense, but anything that is ungodly and wrong, separate, cut yourself off from that so that you can enter into heaven. If you keep all of that bad stuff around, you'll take it with you all the way to hell. This is the third time that Jesus has mentioned this principle. Cut it off. It is good for thee to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. It's going to be forever. And so they're familiar with those fires burning down in that valley of Hinnom or Gehenna, and here hell is burning. And if thy foot cause thee to stumble, cut it off. It is good for thee to enter into life halt or maimed or missing something rather than having thy two feet to be cast into hell. And if thine eye cause thee to stumble, cast it out. For it is good for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Those are two things that were physically going on in the valley of Hinnom, and it is going to go on in hell fire. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. We're looking at all five places in the Gospels where Jesus mentioned hell. He mentioned hell more than anybody else. Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. But I will warn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Don't fear people around us. Fear the one who can actually sentence us and place us into hell. And that's God. The very one, and Jesus is talking about God here in this context, the very one that people say, well, he's all loving, he would never cast anybody into hell. Jesus said, no, the same God is the one who will cast into hell. So don't listen to what man says about the future. Listen to what Jesus says. And then, of course, Jesus' physical brother, half-brother, James, in James chapter 3, when he's talking about the tongue can cause us to sin and lead us to hell. The tongue, it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the wheel of nature and is set on fire by hell. In other words, the tongue will lead us to hell fire if we don't control it. We will be talking in such a way that God will assign us to hell fire. Well, those are your 12 times that Gehenna is used in the New Testament. Jesus spoke 11 of those. It's clear that there is going to be a punishment, a suffering, a misery. Jesus taught it. Jesus' apostles also taught the same thing. Paul, for example, writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, about Jesus coming again. And to you that are afflicted, that is Christians who are being hurt, rest with us at the revelation or the second coming of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Paul said that there's going to be eternal destruction and punishment to those who know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says today, well, it's not a big deal if I don't obey the gospel, it's a very big deal. We're going to suffer punishment and eternal destruction from the face of the Lord. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 10 speaks of the vengeance of God. For we know him that said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense. And again, the Lord, this is the Lord God, shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We've got to take very seriously God. In the little book of Jude, even with regard to angels who sin, it's not just mankind, but spirit beings, angels, God judges them as well. Jude 6, and the angels that kept not their own principality, they did not stay within their authorized bounds of work and authority. They went outside of that. They violated God's law. We're not told when and where this happened. Early on, I'm sure, after creation. But let their proper habitation, they left their proper habitation. He hath kept in everlasting bonds unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. They are being kept in these everlasting bonds under darkness. This is the same thing that Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he speaks about these same angels who sinned. And here it is called Tartarus, or pits of darkness. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he talked about, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels when they sinned, but cast them down to Tartarus. Some versions actually say hell, but this is not Gehenna hell. This is a place of darkness, a pit of darkness for the angels who are kept there, according to Jude 6, until the coming of the judgment day. It's pits of darkness. So they were cast down to Tartarus and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. The idea here is that judgment and destruction and punishment is even for sinful angels. It's not just for mankind. So angels and mankind are all going to be either rewarded in heaven or punished eternally in hell. And the interesting thing is that this idea of reward and punishment is immediately after you die for mankind in Hades, the realm of the departed dead, the conscious dead. If you turn to Luke chapter 16, in Luke chapter 16, the righteous go into Abraham's bosom, which is a place of comfort, and the wicked go into torment. This is immediately upon death. So even right after we die, there is a place of reward and there is a place of punishment in Hades, or the realm of the departed spirits. And then in the judgment day, after the judgment takes place, the righteous will be rewarded in heaven, the wicked will be rewarded in hell. So we should not, with Luke chapter 16 and what happens when we die, and then Matthew 25:46, what happens after the judgment day, there should be no question as to is there eternal punishment in hell. So Jesus taught it, the apostles taught it. Judgment, the fact, just the concept of judgment implies it and teaches it. Let's look now at some terms that speak about punishment. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus said, where the fire is never quenched and the worm dies not. Jesus speaks in Matthew 13:42, cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 25 and verse 30, Jesus said of the wicked servant would be cast into outer darkness. There would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Paul writes in Romans 2:9 that there will be tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil. There will be a pain and anguish the likes of which you've never experienced. If you've ever gotten hurt, if you've ever hit yourself on the finger with a hammer or gotten hurt in some way and had a lot of pain in childbirth or something else, it is nothing like the pain and suffering of hellfire. John writes in Revelation 21:8, the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Death means separation. So there's physical death where the body separates from the soul. The body goes to the grave and decays, and the soul lives on in Hades, separation. But this second death is the second separation. That's the separation of God and all that is good because you're in hell. To put it in Paul's terms, from the glory of his might, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might, we're separated from all that is God and all that is good. So this suffering and anguish and fire and brimstone and wailing and gnashing of teeth and worm that dies not, this is a very, very bad place. Well, some teach that you'll be there for just a little while and then you'll burn up completely. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus again said in Mark 9:45, where the fire is never quenched and the worm dies not. Those things go on because the people there continue to exist and go on. Already made mention in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46 that Ionion means everlasting, and there's everlasting life and everlasting punishment. It means without end, never to cease, everlasting. And so everlasting life and everlasting punishment are the same forever and ever. You can also turn to Revelation chapter 14 with regard to the wicked, where John writes there on a couple of different places with regard to this matter. Revelation 14:10. They will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day and night, they that worship the beast in his image, and whoso receives the mark of his name. And you come over to chapter 20 and verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where also the beast and the false prophet. And in the book of Romans, that is related to all of the ungodly, wicked people in the Roman Empire that were persecuting Christians, Roman government, Roman religion. They are there, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Friends, there is eternal punishment in hell. But the good news is you can avoid that by applying the blood of Jesus to your life in baptism and continuing to apply that blood to your life in forgiveness throughout your life. Let's get together. Let's study the Word of God. Let's all be journeying to heaven and not to hell. Thank you for being with us this morning on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.